welcome back to Let's Talk Travel with the Pretty Wanderer, and I'm your host, Fatima Barnes. We have made it to episode 9, y'all, and I mean, I know I say this all the time, but I am so appreciative for my supporters and those that tune in and listen, especially those that tune in and listen every week. I am here for it, and I love you for that. I can't wait to get into this episode because we are going to address two things that people always say keeps them from traveling. We'll be speaking with travel enthusiast Savannah Latham today on Let's Talk Time and Money, Honey. Now on to today's tips, or as I always say, you know the drill by now, but I'm going to be pulling from my luggage of tricks. And with that being said, I want to talk about some fun tips today. Something that most people kind of know but don't think about. But I get a lot of questions about what some things to do. What's the best way to maximize affordable wise, like getting the best deal for attractions and excursions, because that always can add up, right? So even if you got a good deal on your flight and you've got a good deal on your accommodations and you get to the place, and a lot of the excursions can be expensive when you go different places, right? Or a lot of the attractions that aren't free can add up. And there are usually a lot of good free things, but let's just face it, a lot of the good places when you go places that can cost a little bit of money. And so here are some things that I do to kind of help out when it comes to those attractions or those hot things or deals. And another way to kind of sightsee and see the attractions for a really good deal for my money and my time too. So one of the things that I do is whatever city that you're going into. So there's a few things. You have Airbnb experiences, which allows you to see different excursions in the area that you're going to. And usually they have a pretty good deal on them. They usually have TripAdvisor, who has a list and a wealth of information on things that you can do when you're there. Once again, that stuff can add up. Oftentimes, if you have a travel agent that booked your accommodations for you, they can actually also book excursions for you as well, or send you a list of different excursions that you can do to compare. And usually you can save some money doing it that way as opposed to like TripAdvisor or something. But another thing that I have done in a couple of cities that I've been to, and I have found that if you're there for a long time, it's worth it, is the cities that have the tourist attraction pass deals, right? So Vegas is notorious for it. Dubai is notorious for it. I want to say Paris. Yes, those things can actually save you money. So what happens is you typically will look for like a pass card or attraction card. You Google it for whatever city that you're going to. And if they have it, they will have a card that will allow you to visit all of these different places. You can buy like the 1 to 3 to 5 day pass, depending on where you're going. And usually they will include in the price in that pass, you pay like a lump sum, admission or the ability to go into these hot places, these hot tourist attractions, by saving money on a deal. I remember when I went to Vegas, I was able to buy a similar kind of package and deal like that. And I was able to do quite a few experiences. Like I was able to go to Madame Tussauds and to do the CSI experience on top of the roller coaster. And it was a couple of other things. And so we were able to knock out for like a little price and a deal price a lot of things to do. One way you can see if a city has that is to actually check out and see if that city actually has a website, like a tourist website. And a lot of times you can find deals on things to do there. And usually another way you can find deals on things to do when you go somewhere is usually the hotel or the resort or the accommodations that you have, they usually can't have the little coupon codes or the little booklets with all the little places and things that you can do while you're there. Sometimes it's cheaper to book through the resort for excursions and book there when you get there. Sometimes it's better to book in advance. You kind of just gotta figure it out and play it by ear, but you can never go wrong. Usually there's nothing that's that totally booked up that you can't book when you get there and take advantage of like a lot of the offers and deals. Because I remember being in situations where I booked a lot of stuff in advance and then got there and realized like, dang, I would have came out cheaper if I would have waited till I was here because the hotel or the resort had some kind of special or deal on that same excursion or a similar excursion, or they had a coupon code for that excursion. So, I mean, it won't hurt unless it's something that's like booked up in well in advance. Like for instance, in Napa Valley, the Napa Valley train, that can book up pretty fast. And so certain things like that, you want to book in advance. But it doesn't hurt to just kind of play it by ear. Usually you will still never have a problem in hot tourist cities finding a way to book your attractions and your all of that kind of stuff. So those are a few things that I do, because I always get asked like, what do you do about knowing the things to do? And so that's a good way to do it. Another thing that I do to kind of maximize my time, especially if I'm in a city where I want to hit all the highlight attractions and I want to hit all the main tourist spots because I'm only here for 2 days, for instance, maybe it's a stopover on my trip, and I want to hit all those hot places, a lot of times you can utilize the hop on, hop off bus tours in that city, especially if you're mostly going to sightsee for all of the hot attractions. Maybe you're just going to pass by the Louvre, but you're not going to actually go in the Louvre. And the hop on, hop off bus option was very convenient for my husband and I in Paris, because we were able to pretty much see the entire city and all the main parts of the city that we wanted by utilizing the hop on, hop off buses. And then there's usually a tour guide that kind of is telling you things about the city, history, you know, and you can change the languages if you need to. So I think that the hop on, hop off bus tours, like, don't sleep. People sleep on them. And for those that don't know, that is like those double-decker buses that you see. Usually the top is off. They're usually big and red or orange of some sort, and they are usually around major cities. So they're pretty easy to follow the maps, and they're also pretty easy if you stay in a central location of where you're going to get to a bus stop from the next bus stop to the next bus stop. And so it's pretty easy to read the routes, but you'll find that you're able to, you know, if you hit it early that morning all the way until they stop running, you can usually see a majority of what you want to see in 1 or 2 days by all of the main attractions and getting around to them and also learning about the city as well. So those are some quick tips for those who are, you're planning your first international trip, and or maybe any trip for that matter, and you're at this point now, you've been listening and you're inspired and you just wonder like, okay, what can I do? Like, what's some best ways to save money on trying to figure out what I need to do when I get to that city? So those are my recommendations. I also highly recommend that you follow a travel group of your choice that fits you. I like Girls Love Travel, the Black Travel Movement, Black Women Travel. And so those are just a few that I love to follow, because people usually can give you great insight on the things that they did and the attractions that they did while they were there and how they went about booking them. So it will kind of give you insight onto if you need to try to book something before you leave in advance, or if it's okay to wait till you get there. So those are my tips for today. So we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to be speaking to the lovely Savannah Latham, who I like to refer to as a big ball of energy. So she is here and we're going to be talking time and money, honey. So we're back, and I have here with me today the person I like to call a big ball of energy, Savannah Latham, a fellow travel enthusiast, corporate woman. She is a lover of travel and she travels the world with her husband, and she does it often. And so I am so glad that you could be here today. How are you, boo?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. Like I was just saying, I finally got some rest today. So I haven't been feeling the best, but yeah, I'm
good. You deserve it.
I know, girl. So hopefully you're getting some rest too.
I'm trying.
Yes, crazy times, girl. Crazy times.
So there's a reason why you're here, Savannah, and I want you to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your awesomeness.
Oh, you're so sweet. So just a brief info about myself. My name is Savannah Latham. I am married. I've been married for 4 years to my husband, Kyle. And together we just really admire and love to travel. It's just something that we, number one, as a couple, you know, you need that getaway time together, and mm-hmm. you bond so well when you're in unfamiliar places and you speak zero of the same languages, and right. it definitely brings you closer together. So that's just something that we love to do. I live here in Memphis with my two dogs. And other than that, yeah, we love to travel. Travel's our number one.
Yes. I feel you on that, girl. Now, you also are, you have a great career as well. And I'm sure so did your husband. So letting them know that you guys still make it a priority while you have to work, right?
I am a big believer that I work for money. You know, obviously I work to live. I don't live to work. So mm-hmm. working to me is, it brings me money to do the things that I love, and traveling is one of them. So I think everyone wants to be a stay at home, you know, mom or wife or husband. You know, my husband surely does. He wants to play Xbox all day. But you know, working gives us the ability to travel. So we're really big on, you know, our careers and progressing them, and, you know, how to make more money so we can go more places.
Girl, that's the same way we feel. It's like yeah. we work, you know, but we work so yeah. we can do these things. It's mm-hmm. not like, you know, everybody wishes they could just still make money and not have
exactly.
to go in. So that's kind of why I'm glad that you were able to talk about that. So let's talk. Okay. So I love to hear the different reasons why people love to travel and where their love for travel kind of began. Where could you say your love really kind of started? When did you kind of get hit by that travel bug?
So for me, my situation was different. Growing up, we did not have a lot of money. So I think literally from what I can remember, we went to two places from the time I could remember to the time I graduated high school. My family went to two places. So the first place we went to was Arkansas, which is great. You know, Arkansas has its amazing like nature and hike. Mm-hmm. So it's so fun. So I was a little bit younger. And then when we got older, my first time at the beach, we went to North Carolina when I was in high school. And that was it. That's all I traveled as a child and teenager. And so I knew in high school, I met a foreign exchange student from Switzerland. And I was like, what's Switzerland? Like, I've never, I wasn't really like, I guess because we didn't travel, I didn't know geography as much as I do now. And ever since then, since I met her, I was like, I want to go to all the places that you've been to. So my husband and I, our first big trip abroad was to Germany, Italy, and France. And ever since then, that was the bug. I was like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm determined to do this. And ever since then, that's when we made it a priority for ourselves and our relationship.
Oh, that's such a beautiful story. Like, that is so sweet. Like, that is true, though. Like, everybody hasn't always had the opportunity to start off young. And then uh-huh. I love that now you and your husband have, like my husband and I too, similar stories, made it a priority. Mm-hmm. And so when you have children, you're going to start them off younger.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they're going to have the bug way earlier than we did. And mm-hmm. they will get to see way more, hopefully, than we ever yeah. got to see. So I love that.
Yeah. And I guess because of being an adult, I definitely think traveling to other countries as a child, it opened your mind a lot more mm-hmm. to other, you adapt to other people quicker. You are more open to listening to other people. You're not so focused on yourself because mm-hmm. you have been in those countries. So it's definitely important when we start having kids to open that door for them and, you know, to be kind to everyone. It doesn't matter what they look like or what language they speak, you know, and I think traveling helps that.
Yes, girl, you said that. I always say if more people would start actually traveling more, it would be a lot less ignorance and intolerance too, because 100%. You have no choice but to explore outside of what, you know, outside of what we know in America. Mm-hmm. It does open your eyes. I say absolutely. That all the time. I love that story, girl. That was very interesting. So what's been your favorite place though?
Oh, there's so many. So I didn't get to tell y'all. So my husband and I have been blessed to have visited 12 countries in our lifetime. Yeah. So it's been so much fun. It's so odd to compare them though, because it's kind of like
different.
I love Chick-fil-A and I love Popeyes, but I can't compare them. They both have great chicken sandwiches. So like I've been to Australia, but you can't compare Australia to Scotland, you know?
Right.
It's just so different. But as far as like one that I want to like relive, and I'll definitely go back to that country, would probably be Australia. It was so diverse. It was so, I didn't realize how big Australia was. It's almost as big as the United States.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I just thought, because, you know, when you go to Europe and, you know, you can drive from
to another country, right?
Yeah, it's not like that. We got plane ticket or plane rides. Australia was definitely one for the books. I would definitely will go back to Australia in my life.
I hear people say that all the time about Australia, and literally for our trip next year, that's where hopefully everything, you know, calms down by then, but that's literally where we're going next year is Australia.
Oh my gosh, for our trip. Have to.
I know, I hear so much about it, so much, but you're right, when people ask me about where's my favorite place, and I'm always like, I can't say, it's so hard.
I know.
It's like each place gives you something different, a different absolutely. Experience. You learn something different no matter where you go. Like the experiences, they're always just printed on your brain. And it's so hard to be like, yeah, like that's my favorite. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get absolutely. It. Every time people ask me that question, I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, I don't know. So while we're on it, because you, like me, we both make it a priority to travel in our lives. So what is your, and I love to save money. And at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about today. Yes. What is some of your go-to travel hacks? Like, we all have one. Of course, mine is the travel credit cards. That's kind of what got me started on my actual travel hacking journey, right? Before I was just paying full price and just paying everything. And then I kind of learned that. So that's kind of my go-to, my favorite one. But what's some of yours?
I know we've talked in the past about your travel credit cards, and after listening to your podcast, my husband was like, yeah, we need to get that. I'm like, why do you listen to someone but me? Like, that's my typical husband, right?
Typical husband.
Right. So for us, definitely saving money for something. I don't believe in saving just to save money. I think you need to, I see it on TikTok and on Pinterest and on Instagram, like, start like a little money jar, and just anytime you have extra dollars, just throw it in there. And this is your Jamaica fund, or this is your Australia fund. Definitely start saving. Travel does cost. There's no way to get around that. You're going to have to pay out of pocket, you know? So that's just something you have to make a priority. So for us, I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a tip or a trick though, but a lot of people don't use travel agents, but in the past we have. For us, I think it is, especially for someone who can't afford to put, like, you know, Australia's a thousands type of trip. It's not a couple hundred.
Yes.
So for us, when my travel agent texted us and told us about Australia, and the good thing about it is you can book over a year in advance. And the good thing about a travel agent is you can pay monthly on that. So traveling doesn't have to be like a one-time thing. I know if you go to delta.com and you have to buy your plane ticket, like all for travel agents, mm-hmm. you don't have to do that. You can book the entire like trip and then you can pay monthly on it. So we typically pay our deposit and then each month we'll pay a little bit at a time. So that way you're not putting like $3,000 to $5,000 down. And also, I don't think a lot of people know, but traveling, Black Friday has travel deals.
They do.
I'm sure you know, but you know, opposed to going to Walmart and getting another 55-inch TV that you don't need, go to a travel site, book a ticket, book, you know, a hotel. They constantly run Black Friday deals, and they're great deals. Great deals. My husband and I, I think when we went to Cancun a couple of years ago on Black Friday, we booked it for both my husband and I to go to an all-inclusive was $1,200 on Black Friday with airfare, everything. Mm-hmm.
You know, like I really, you saying that, I mean, that I knew, but I'll tell you this. It didn't really click for me that they actually do Black Friday sales until this past Black Friday, mm-hmm. honestly. And that's a part of when I kind of booked my trip to, well, I was going to book when I first was getting ready to book my trip to Africa for this year, actually was a Black Friday deal and I missed it. I was like right at it, but no. I checked the prices and the flight to Cape Town, because we were initially going to go to South Africa. Uh-huh. And Black Friday was when we looked it up, uh-huh. around that time towards the end of it, because like I said, I didn't even think about it. And then we booked the flight. Well, we were about to book the flight and it was only like $600 and something a piece.
Oh my gosh.
To get to Cape Town. And
that's good.
And from Atlanta. And we were going to fly standby into Atlanta, but still, you know, Atlanta's nothing. And we were going to, it was like $600 and something. And we waited one more day. I don't even remember what happened. I think it slipped my mind. And I went back in, the flights were back to like $1,200
a piece. Goodness.
So
yeah, we got a quote to go to Africa. I think it was Cape Town too. And it was just like, I was like, we're going to have to save a lot longer. So definitely I will be booking a trip if that's the case, especially with, you know, the coronavirus right now. I bet this Black Friday, there's going to be some really good deals.
Oh, yeah. People are going to be wanting people to. Because next year is really kind of where we'll really ramp back up.
Oh, yeah.
Traveling. Hopefully, the countries are going to be more comfortable opening in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot is going to change and they're going to have a lot more rules. And I've been researching countries that's kind of opening up now and kind of looking at what they have. And people are going to be trying to encourage that tourism back, because for a lot of countries, that's the bulk of their money, like their funds. Yeah. Like their countries are funded through tourism. And so I can, you know, there's places like Japan already who are offering incentives to go, which I want to go to Japan so bad. That's definitely on my list.
Yes.
Yes. But they are offering incentives for you to travel again. So I think it's going to be a good time. This is going to be a good time coming up. And so it's great that you mentioned the Black Friday deals, because I really did not know that until this year. Like, I never thought about it. And I travel hack a lot different ways. Mm-hmm. I give a lot of tips on the show on ways that you can save money on your flights and things like that. But yeah, I did not think about Black Friday until this year. So that's why when you said that, I was like, they do, because I learned the hard way.
Yeah. And Africa is an expensive trip.
It is.
So if you can penny pinch your flights, absolutely, that is something everyone needs to do.
Right, it is. And I definitely learned that the hard way about the Black Friday deals. So yeah. Now, you said that, you know, instead of, I'm glad you mentioned the Black Friday and that deal and using travel agents. And I, of course, I just did an episode on travel agents where I actually kind of was able to talk about the myths that people have about travel agents. And I'm glad that you sort of mentioned that too, because a lot of people are always like, well, they're going to pay, you're going to pay more. And we talked about in the last episode, having a travel agent is really convenient for budgeting in travel. So what's some other tips or ways that you recommend people kind of save, or how do they work that into their budget? Maybe someone who may not make a lot of money, but as you know, it's still a way, right? No matter how much. So what's some of your go-tos for that?
You know, I definitely kind of, like I said, you have to work to live. You don't live to work. So with that mindset is have a goal. You know, if you want to go to Japan next year, and you're a single mom, like, start saving up now. There is no such thing as too early to start saving, because you don't realize, you know, not only do you have to pay for your flight and hotel, it's once you get over there, you've got to pay for, you know, mm-hmm. your dinner every night and, you know, your taxi ride. So there's a lot that, you know, pops up. But if you can, you know, I travel agent, I was kind of skeptical too. And I will only book them on certain trips. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for your bigger trips, I definitely recommend, and especially if you're not as good as budgeting, especially on like a one income family, I know it's a little bit hard. Cause a lot of people at work, I'm sure they call us dinks, double income. No.
Yes. They do call us that at work. Yes.
Well, you know, and I'm blessed in that aspect. But I recommend as for your first trip, and if you're a single woman, hire a travel agent. You might pay, so you don't necessarily pay more for your trip. You just pay their fee included in your trip. So when we looked to go to Australia, I was like, I am not hiring a travel agent. That's something I'm just so not going to do. So I looked at the trip. I looked on Delta. I looked on every airline. And it was going to be around like a $6,000 to $7,000 trip. So I was like, okay, if we start saving now in the next year or two, that's something that we can do. My travel agent texted me and said, hey, have you seen how cheap the flights are to Australia? And I said, no, because it's just something that I was like, I'm better at this. I know what I'm doing. She booked the entire trip with her fee included for, I think, like $3,300 for the two of us.
Yes, girl. That's why I love a travel agent.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. You know, she did have a fee in there, I'm sure. I don't know how much, but she was able to save us over $3,000. Mm-hmm. So if you're okay with that, then yeah, absolutely. Now to go to Florida, no, you don't need a travel agent.
Right.
But especially to go abroad your first time, especially to a country that doesn't speak English, you might need a travel agent, because they can help you in different ways than just saving money too. They'll plan your taxi ride for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I know you're paying a fee, but in the end, it works out best for you. And you get to pay monthly on it. So, you know, we booked a trip on Black Friday for Cancun, and we got to pay for a full year on it.
Right.
So which you got is, a good deal. Maybe like $50 a month, which is very affordable.
Right. Right. And it's a good thing that you mentioned the travel agent too, because a lot of like when I was looking into going to Dubai, when we were looking for going to Dubai with the girls for that trip,
on our own,
it was way more, but the travel agent, some travel agents don't even charge you the fee. They actually make their money as a commission from mm-hmm. the companies. So exactly. You may not even ever see the fee at all. And I remember she saved us so much money, and we got to fly like premium. She really did it. And then like you said, we had over a year to pay on it. And exactly. Especially if you have multiple years, mm-hmm. like it's good to just, you can just say like sacrifice eating out meals,
dinners, Starbucks. Yes. Absolutely.
That stuff adds up.
100% adds up.
Yeah. That's why I always say like you said earlier, it's about making it a priority, because mm-hmm. if it is a priority, if something is a priority to you, and most as a human, it's human nature. If something is a priority to us, mm-hmm. we are going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to start traveling and you really want to get out there, is a wealth of ways that you can do it just by simply sacrificing, or just saying that, like with me, what I would do is, instead of paying to eat out lunch, you know, when we were working every day, I would say, okay, I'm going to pack my lunch and then I will give myself every other Friday to eat out. And
that's smart.
Put that money up. Like, so that way I'm not totally depriving myself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know that I have things that I want to do.
Exactly.
And so you're right. It's including it in your budget. I always say, like, my husband and I, we actually have it included into our contribution to the household. There is a part of that, just like any other savings or whatever. We just constantly keep a travel fund regardless. We don't even if we don't know where we're going, even if it's not, we just like, okay, every paycheck, this goes to a travel fund. So at least when we get ready to go somewhere, we have, like, if there's a random weekend trip we want to make, we have a little money there for that we put up. And then by the time it's time to get ready for our big trip, we have some kind of already a cushion to get started towards spending money, or, you know, different things like that. So it's just making it, there's so many ways that you can make it a priority in household, even with the one, you know, I have a friend who is a single mother who she still travels multiple times a year. And she does that because, I'm glad that you had mentioned that earlier, that you, even as a single income, you can still do it. And so she travels multiple times a year, not like 10 times, but multiple times.
Yeah.
Because she, like you said, she literally, her field, you know, it's a field that if you do it, it's because you love it. You know, so she, it's not like she makes a whole lot of money, but she prioritizes it and says, you know, I'm going to pay the deposit. And then when I get paid, I'm going to put this up and I'm going to pay towards this, or I'm going to pay towards that. You know, she just makes it a priority, and you can do that. And on top of just, there's so many different things that we talk about on how you can save money on your flights and hotels. There's so many different things that you can do that will help out as well. But you're right. Absolutely. For those big trips, travel agents are great. So did you make travel fit into your budget, like, before working a great job with a great income? Because I hear from a lot of people that are like fresh out of college or college students, and they always kind of ask that question. So did you always make it a way to do it?
So, yeah, for me, kind of, you know, my travel bug hit me in high school, you know, when I met that foreign exchange student, and, you know, I wanted to travel all these places. I knew, being in college and I was poor, I couldn't go to Europe, you know, but I was determined to do something. So one of my girlfriends invited me to Miami, and I was like, you know what? I'm single, I'm in college, but I have a job, and I didn't have a lot of bills. This is what I'm going to do. So I looked up tickets every single day to Miami, and I found it to be around $200. This was a couple of years ago. So $200 was a pretty good price. So I just booked my plane ticket, you know, but it was $200, which I know that's not that much money, but when you're single and you're still in college and you're eating tuna fish and ramen noodles for dinner every night, you know, that is a lot. So I knew when she invited me, like, I'm going to stop going to Starbucks, you know, every day. I'm going to stop going out to lunch, you know, kind of what you did. This is what I want to do. So, you know, like I said, $200, it is a lot of money, but then again, it's not. If you quit going out to eat, you know, maybe three times, that's $200. If you go out to dinner with your girlfriend and y'all have a couple of drinks, I mean, that's an easy $50, $60 tab. So I said, I'm just going to stay at home, get some ramen noodles and tuna fish, and I'm going to buy this plane ticket. And I bought it. And it was the best decision ever. I got to spend a girl's trip in Miami. Like, it doesn't get better than that.
Right, right.
So like I said, it is affordable. You just have to be willing to sacrifice the right now. So I know it's hard to not go to Starbucks. Trust me, I'm addicted. I love Starbucks, but to me, traveling is more important than Starbucks. So you have to be willing to sacrifice the small things.
Right. And hopefully if they're at this point and they've been listening to episode after episode and getting inspired, hopefully now they're at a point where they are willing and ready to make it a priority, right? Like if you think about Corona kind of hit and now there's a lot of people that's like, man, I wish that I would have started traveling before this now I see what I took for granted and I'm ready to do it. And so hopefully now people are going to be a little bit more willing to make it a priority. And I think I'm going to do an episode just for the college students too, because when I was in college, my husband and I, that's, we were dating in college, and that's kind of where we kind of started traveling then already. But it was, I would always find a way, even in high school, like I joined organizations that they could travel. Like that was the only reason why I was in choir in high school, because I can't sing, but I was in choir because I knew that they got to go on a trip every year. And so I got to go to New York and all of these different places. And then in college, I did this internship that if I worked X amount of hours, they paid for me to go somewhere like Washington, D.C. They paid for everything because I worked. So it was little things that I did like that, that I feel I was able to travel even in college. But I would kind of, like I said, I would join organizations. There was another organization program that I joined that we would travel for that program. And so even if it was mostly domestic, I was still just happy to travel anywhere. I'm not against domestic travel anyway. So it was like I joined those kind of things. I did that kind of stuff. And let me tell you this crazy story, Savannah. So I actually started working at Disney World. I did the internship because I wanted to go somewhere different. And so I was able to get people in for free while I was working there. So that's when my husband came down and we got to do Disney World. And then after that, funny story, I got a call from these people that was like, you want a free cruise? And I was in college. And I was like, man, this is a scam, like, you know, whatever. And they were like, no, all you have to pay is like the $60 port taxes. And the cruise is paid for. It's like it was like a 3-day cruise. That's when I went on my first cruise. So this was probably 10 or 11 years ago. And my husband, now husband, he was boyfriend at the time. He got on the phone and asked and just grilled them for like an hour and a half, asking questions, trying to make sure that it was legit and that we could really like win this free cruise. And I cannot remember the name of this cruise line. So we took a chance and we paid the little $69 taxes. And I promise you, we went on that cruise.
It was
we were worried at one point because we drove, because, you know, back then we really couldn't afford any flights.
So we drove
all the way. It left out of Fort Lauderdale. We drove all the way from Jackson, Mississippi to Fort Lauderdale. And we got there and they told us to meet at this place early in the morning. And we didn't see anybody there yet, but we were at the wrong building. So we were like, oh my God, we came all the way down here and we got scammed. And it turns out like we ended up getting to the right building and calling them.
Oh my God.
Yes. And we were able to go on this like I think it was a 3-day cruise. It was like a small little 3-day cruise from during spring break. And so we would do little things like that to still be able to kind of travel and see the world, but we could with what we could do at the time. So that was just
that is so cool. I would have I did not see that coming. I thought you were gonna say something like you got scammed out of $60. That is cool.
Girl, I was nervous. Like at one point when we went to the wrong building, we were like, we paid $69, drove all the way to Miami or Fort Lauderdale and we got scammed. So we were like, if all else, we just lost $60 and we will be in Fort Lauderdale. But it ended up working out and we ended up being able to actually go on that cruise. So sometimes those companies about those free cruises, like you do your research. Cause I remember being on the internet, like, are they a scam? And looking it up. Some of those are really good options, like honestly, and cruises are just affordable options anyway. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a great, I always tell people, like, if you're in college and you really just want to get a taste of seeing the world a little bit and you don't feel like you can afford it, you get some cruises as cheap as like $250 to $400, and you to do all of that. So I always say that too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's a crazy story. Let me ask you a question, because that just reminded me too. Do you and your husband ever do this? And this is kind of a little travel hack that we have done as well. Is you ever get stopped by those people to come listen to their timeshare presentation for the freebies?
Like at an all-inclusive resort?
Yes, or sometimes like, they do it there. I remember being in Vegas and they were like, come listen to our,
timeshare presentation. Yes.
Okay. So my husband and I, we have this mission that we're like, okay, we're going to get the free, because they'll offer you free trips out of that.
Okay.
So we started doing this right out of college so that we could travel. But we went, we would be like, we're going to go listen to this timeshare presentation. We already know it's going to be no, regardless.
Uh-huh.
Like, that, no matter how much they try to pressure us, no matter how long, we're going to stay here, do our time, and get the free gifts at the end.
Yeah.
And so we would go to these presentations and give them that hour and a half, 2 hours of our time. They would keep trying to pressure us at the end, and we're like, no. And then guess what? We were gifted a couple of trips, free trips out of that, as far as what we just had to pay for airfare. But like, they would say, you know, where you're going to stay, your accommodations are covered if you listen to the presentation. So another thing people can do, especially college, younger people fresh out of college, is go there and see what they're offering for the freebies. Sometimes they're always like, we'll offer you this regardless of if you buy or not. We'll offer you a trip to come stay at our, you know, accommodations for free. And or you may just pay like a small fee. So that's another good.
Really? Yeah, because I always thought that was a scam too.
Girl,
smart.
If y'all go in there just knowing, like, no matter how good their sales pitch is, like, we're gonna say no. We're on the same page as a couple. Yeah. We're gonna say nope.
Okay.
Then I promise you, it's like, it works.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We went to Vegas one time doing that. Like, we went to Vegas. Well, we were somewhere else, and they were saying, like, if you listen, I can't even remember where we at. Listen to our presentation, and we'll offer you a free, you know, there's a trip or something at the end to go stay at one of our properties, even if you don't buy. And we got the freebie at the end, which was like accommodations in Vegas. And that's where we went.
Yeah, really? Okay, I'm definitely doing that.
So just a tidbit there that just made me think of that.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. I'm definitely going to look into that.
Good girl. Yes, y'all should do it. Okay. So we actually have what I like to call travel tea. And that is where we kind of discuss a topic in the travel community. And this week's travel tea is where it's about time, right? We've kind of talked about money and making it a priority. But a lot of people have this kind of myth or thought in their head that they don't actually have the time to travel multiple times a year, or they don't have the time to even find to make it work, and that you have to be rich or have a six-figure plus income to really travel the world and make time for it, or you have to. And so let's talk about that, because I know that's a big reason why a lot of people kind of don't travel, because they don't think about there's ways that you can kind of finesse your time and finesse your time to go. And I think it also goes back to making it a priority, right? So like, what are your thoughts on that? What are some things that you kind of do as well?
Yeah, so it definitely, you know, your work determines how much time you have off. There's no getting around that. You know, my husband and I have, you know, only a certain amount of days of vacation. So a prime example is when you do go to Australia, and I'm sure that you've done this, when it's a destination is so far, you need to take at least, a 2-week trip. It sounds like a lot, but it's not. It goes back to the budgeting. I would say it's sacrifice, you know. Unfortunately, I don't have Christmas Eve off. I don't get Black Friday off. I don't get the day after Christmas off. I don't get, you know, those kind of holidays that people want off, which absolutely, I mean, if you have the time, definitely. But that's something that I'm willing to sacrifice to go to Australia for 2 weeks. A good example is exactly what happened right now with the coronavirus. You know, at where we work, our year ends, our new year starts June 1st. Mm-hmm. So we went to Australia in September, and it was a 2-week trip, and everyone was like, you are going to hate that. It's like, you should not be traveling that long. Like, you won't have off any time. I'm like, trust me, like, this is something I'm willing to do. I'll just, you know, I won't be sick. I won't, you know, take off any days. I just know I want to go to Australia for 2 weeks. Well, look what happened. The coronavirus hit January, and everyone had to roll their vacation time over. Yes. But I didn't have any left. So, you know, that is something, again, with the budget. If you're willing to sacrifice, and trust me, I know it is so hard to wake up and go to work on Christmas Eve. It is hard. Yes. It is hard to wake up after Thanksgiving and go into work. The day after Christmas, like, it's hard. But again, it's just something that my husband and I are willing to do. And, you know, I know our work is a little bit more lenient, but I would say ask your, you know, boss or your employer, like, hey, let's just say, you know, Thanksgiving, it's on a Thursday. Hey, can I work a little bit extra on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or right. Monday, Tuesday, and get off a little early on Wednesday? Like, still go in, but maybe opposed to getting off at 5, you can get off at 3. So just see, there are ways around that. And typically your employer will always say yes. Of all the jobs that I've had, I've never heard a no, but you know, it's sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice, you know, those type of holidays. Right. Like the day after 4th of July, New Year's Eve, all those,
right.
They stink. Trust me. I know it is so hard to wake up and go to work, but you know, I will never ever regret going to Australia for 2 weeks and not having any vacation left.
Right. And you know, say someone actually only has 2 weeks of vacation time for the whole year, right? And say another thing I like to say about that too is, like, you could do it like, you, I thank God I'm at a point now where I have way more vacation time than 2 weeks now. But if you think about it, especially in our job, I think at that time it was 2 weeks and 4 days. So it's still almost 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So even then, like you said, if you're willing to sacrifice and say, okay, I'm just not going to call in or just not come to work for no, like, when I can be at work, like, don't get me wrong, you still need those days of just like, I need a mental health day.
I
need to just stay home and just not do anything, right? But like you said, if you want to actually make travel a priority in your life and make time for it, that's one of those things where, like you said, you just say, like, okay, I'm not going to take off. Because I've done that before too, where it's like, we're not off the day after Christmas, only Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to do one or two things. Either I'm going to make a small trip out of it and I'll take off that if Christmas falls on a Thursday. Well, I only have to use one day and just go somewhere a Wednesday night and come back Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of finesse it that way. So either I'm going to take advantage of the fact that it's a holiday and that's when I'm going to try to go on a trip. But as you know, trying to travel around the holidays can be a lot more expensive. So it's not always convenient to travel around those holidays. But if someone has children, for instance, and maybe they can only travel when the kids are out of school, then obviously those are the times that they're going to have to travel, and traveling is going to cost a little bit more money because that's like the peak. Usually when the kids are out of school, that's the peak time to travel. But say, for instance, you know, if you guys, even if you want to go with your children, like, maybe just take off one day here and there and do a Friday and then leave a Thursday evening and come home a Sunday. So there's different things that people can do if they want to make it a priority.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of different things that people can do on the time that if they want to make it a priority. But I like what you said about just saying that I'm willing to sacrifice that time. Like, I'm willing to just not
to go into work the times that I don't want to go into work, or I'm willing to say, can I stay over? Oh, because girl, I used to do that all the time, you know, kind of flex out and say, can I work extra hour, you know, a couple of days this week so I can leave on, at, you know, after 4 hours on Friday. And that's still a little bit of time to kind of go somewhere earlier. And, you know, even if it's a closer place. So
absolutely.
Another thing too, though, Savannah, that a lot of people don't think about is, even though it can be a little bit more expensive traveling around those holidays and whenever they fall, that kind of gives you that extra day if you're at a job where holidays are paid, you get paid time off. But for those who don't, usually they have really great schedules where they may be, they may, like some of the people who don't work the average Monday through Friday, right? I know there are some people who they're like, well, I'm off on a Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm like, so just even go on a trip a Sunday or Saturday and then take off. You only need to take off Monday, Tuesday. And then, you know, you got a Sunday through Thursday trip right there. So it's just using, you know, going, if you have to go somewhere closer, right? Like say, for instance, in your case, I want to go to Australia, and I know that's going to take 2 weeks, and I only have 4 more days of PTO. Let me go somewhere where there is literally, like, I can go to a Caribbean country or Mexico or somewhere where I can just take off a Thursday, Friday, and have that, you know, that's how you kind of make it work and make it stretch. Is that something that you do as well?
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I are big traveling big over Labor Day and Memorial Day, because we have that extra day that we don't have to use in our PTO, you know, kind of like it is a bit more expensive, you know, to travel around the holidays, but sometimes if it's only a couple of $100, it's willing, because then you have a whole nother day to do a whole nother trip with.
A lot of people don't think about that. I love to, like, I can finesse. And I think you and I both, because they're always like, well, where's Savannah at this time? Like, where's Fatima at this time? Because they're like,
I live through your Instagram.
Oh, and I love yours too. So that's why I'm like, and I know, like, if anybody I could talk to about traveling at work, it was you. Like, it was definitely you. So that's
why definitely like, inspire me.
Yes. It's a matter of just saying like, oh no, we're going to use this time. I'm going to make this work or absolutely. Stretch or absolutely. Whatever. And so I think people just have to really get creative and say like, okay, if I only have 2 weeks of vacation, I'm going to take a week trip further out. Or a little, you know, like a little over a week trip further out, and then say I only have that other week. Well, then I'm going to do, like you said, like if 4th of July falls on a Thursday or Friday, I only need to use one day and come back on a Sunday. Or if you work those odd hours, and you know, some of the people who have some of the best hours to really finesse their traveling time are nurses. Because some nurses have like those, they're off for like 7 days at a time. Listen. And they may work like crazy the other times of the day, but I would literally, if I had that kind of schedule,
oh my gosh,
always be on the trip.
Yeah. Always. And a lot of people, just because you don't typically look at a map every single day of your life, of the world. My husband and I flew to Iceland Thursday and came back Monday. You know,
really?
We got to fly standby with our work. You know, we're very fortunate to fly standby.
Right.
I was like, you know what? Like, you might be exhausted and you might sleep in the airport, but it was so worth it. So we flew to Chicago and that flight on a Thursday, and that flight left Thursday night. So you arrive in Iceland, like you arrived when you go to Europe, you're a couple hours ahead. So we got there Friday morning. We spent all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday just exploring the city. And you know, with you, when you fly standby, you don't know exactly what day or what time you're going to come back. So I was like, well, let's try to come back Monday. Well, it all worked out perfectly. But you know, like I said, we did that Thursday through Monday. And so if you're willing, you know, now Australia is a different story. That's yeah, a that's 20 too something far hour. Away, right? Yeah. But Europe, and depending on, so like the Ireland, Scotland that are closer to America than like France and Italy, you can get there in like 5 to 6 to 7 hours, which I know that's a lot, but if you finesse your way to have it somewhat where you go travel during the night and you just wake up and then you have all day, the 3 days, you know, that's something that you could do. And I said, now you might be tired 100%, but it'll be worth it.
Girl, you just really, you know, Iceland is somewhere that's on my list, but I automatically assumed that it was further than that. But I love to take those trips where it's like, if I can get there within 8 hours,
yeah,
you can do that like the Thursday through Sunday, and you can just do as much as you can. And you're right. I cannot tell you how many times I have come to work extremely exhausted on a Monday because I have done that and tried to put a trip in, you know. Usually you can still at least do a lot of the highlights, and it's always worth it.
It's always worth it is
exhaustion. And I think that's where that sacrifice comes in. And like, it's worth it to be like tired, but you had like the best trip ever and you had the most fun. And so it's like, it's worth it because I mean, I'm exhausted.
Memories.
But if you think about it too, you made a good point. Yeah. The memories, but 8 hours, a lot of people will drive, you know, with up to 8 hours in a weekend to go somewhere domestically.
That is a good point. You're right. Because people drive to Florida all the time over Labor Day and Memorial Day.
And then they come back. Why not take an 8 hour flight?
That's a really good point. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a big sleep when you're dead type person. I'm the one, I have to have my sleep too. Don't get me wrong. But if it's only sacrificing so many hours of sleep and, you know, you're limited on your PTO at work, but I think you should definitely try it. Mm-hmm. Definitely try. And then just try it. And if it's too much for you to do in 4 days, don't do it again. There's not going to be a hurt.
It's not going to hurt you. Exactly. Yes. And then you'll find that people want to actually do that more. Like, people are going to be willing to say, I'm okay with losing sleep because it was so fun. Like, and I always tell people, so that's a good rule of thumb we just came up with, Santa. Like, if you just set how many hours max you're willing to go on, like a Thursday through Sunday or a Friday through Sunday, or like that kind of a Thursday evening after work through Sunday kind of trip, I think that that's a good rule of thumb. Go to your closer places that you can fly to within those times during that time, and then save your 2 week or more or week and a half trips for the other time that you have.
Another story to kind of piggyback off of this. My husband and I went to Cozumel a couple years ago, and we met a couple, and I think they lived in like Dallas or Atlanta, like a major city that had a direct flight to Cozumel. And I was like, oh, you know, we just talked to them. Hey, how long are you here? And they're like, oh, we come here for the weekend. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, a flight from Atlanta or Dallas. It was Atlanta or Dallas. I don't remember what city. But they're like, it's only a 4-hour flight. So they take off Friday. So they have Friday half the day. And then they have all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And they'll just go back on Monday. And I'm like, that's so smart.
Right.
Yeah. So good. We came up with something good, Fatima.
We did. And, you know, I believe it was Alicia. When I was speaking to Alicia, she did a good tip too, where she said, look for all the nonstop flights from your airport and see where you can go. So we even came up with something great right there. Like, you can finish your time. You can find those places that you can get to within that amount of time, or look up your direct flights.
Yes.
And you can probably be traveling every weekend or every other, at least once a month. Like, I can see that right there, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I think now Memphis has a direct flight to Cancun.
It does. We took it. My husband and I took it.
Yes. So you could be in Cancun easily for a weekend. Oh,
I mean, that's like, I know it's still an international flight, but Vegas is further away for us in Memphis than Cancun.
Yeah. And you know, Canada going to Toronto, that flight, easy flight, short flight from Memphis or in this area. And yeah, honestly, you could get there. We did Canada like over 4th of July weekend last year.
Really?
And it was because I think 4th of July fell on like a, did it fall on a Thursday last year? 4th of July fell, I think, where we just had to take off like one day, and we were okay. able to do Canada through that whole 4th of July weekend, and it was still a great price. We went to Toronto. Yeah. Still a great deal.
Yeah, that's smart.
And very short, quick flight.
Yeah.
And we were able to do it. And also, if your airport doesn't have as many destinations and they're limited, look for the nearest one to you. Like, so sometimes Nashville, flying mm-hmm. out of Nashville is, yes. they have a lot more flight options sometimes. So yeah. if you're willing to drive to the closest major airport near you, I think that's worth it as well.
Yes.
So that's a great option as well. I think it's just a matter of finessing it and making it stretch. And so do your further away trips, use your big time for that. And then do those quick weekend, 3-day weekend, long weekend trips. Kind of knock those out throughout yes. the year. And I think that you're fine. And you can travel domestically too. Like, it doesn't always have to be internationally. There are places that you can get to pretty quick within the United States as well that you can knock out in a weekend here, or, you know, different things like that. So,
yes,
I think that's a good rule of thumb. And
yeah, I do too.
And just be strategic. Everybody doesn't have a Monday through Friday job, right? But you do, if you work a job that has PTO and you have a weird schedule, even where you're off in the middle of the week, actually, that's the best time to really travel anyway for flight prices, is if you can leave on like a Wednesday. Cheaper. Yeah, exactly. So just be strategic and say, okay, well, I only have to use 1 or 2 days here. Or if you have a job where you can work from home, that's another thing that I've done too, is when I switched over to my new role, having that ability to work from home or work remote. So I would literally like work when we may only be able to get like one day out the week really to do it. And I would literally work remote. I would be like, I'm working remote today. I will be working from the airport or whatever. And then when I got to where I was going, I put the work phone up and enjoyed myself. Once I was obviously, you know, that day has passed, because if I'm working from home, I have to work, right? But yeah. the thing is, I would work remote a lot of times on those days, mm-hmm. and I'm able to kind of like still get that ability to leave town.
Yeah.
While working. And so I would just make sure I'm like, I got my work laptop with me. I'm working from the airport. I'm working here. And then now once I get here, now I'm off and I'm not going to worry with my laptop anymore. But I did to get here. So if you have a job, mm-hmm. just be creative with what your schedule looks like. And if you never know what your, because some people work jobs where they never know what their schedule is going to be like.
Absolutely.
When you get that schedule, sometimes they should give you that schedule with at least like 3 to 4 weeks in advance. When you get that schedule, you could always look and be strategic. Okay, so they have me off on a day here. So I'll use a vacation day here. You know, you can really be strategic and kind of finesse the PTO that way.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. you can.
So we're dispelling the myth, Savannah, that you don't have to have a job that is paying you six, seven figures, and you're off for 8 weeks out the year. You don't have to have that to squeeze in multiple trips in a year.
Yes, no, absolutely not. It's all about your priorities and sacrifice. I think that's kind of like the main thing that we've talked about. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that I've pretty much talked about that too. Like, I think at some point in every travel conversation, in every episode, honestly, Savannah, that is always what it goes back to, is are you willing to make the sacrifice of your time and money to do it? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going to keep sitting there saying that it's something that you want to do, but you're making excuses for why you haven't done it?
Yes, you're right.
So I think that's going to be key. And I'll be curious to see what these prices look like once, you know, since the pandemic is here.
Yeah, it's a good time to buy. I will say, my husband and I were going to go to Canada, and we were going to buy the flights, not fly standby. And we started looking in January, and flights were around $600 to $800 a person. Mm-hmm. And we were like, that's a little too out of our price range for this for that specific kind of trip.
Yeah.
We'll wait. So, right, I think when the coronavirus hit the United States, and I'm not saying it was a blessing by any means, and I hate that it happened. However, like you said, finesse your way to make it a positive. So when that happened, we got round trip tickets per person to Canada and back for $200.
Yes. Yes.
Like that's like, that will never happen again. And so I say, use this time as an advantage when the flight companies right now are desperate. You know, I think I heard on some article that like Cancun is offering to pay for your hotel.
Yeah, or, I think I saw that too.
Have you heard?
I saw that.
Yeah. So it's like, there is literally no excuse right now. The flights are so cheap. You have basically your accommodations paid for at least a couple nights. There's no reason to not go. Mm-hmm.
And now you should realize that you should never take for granted exactly the opportunity that you have to travel anymore. Like a lot of people didn't realize how good we had it pre-corona to just have, yes, to be a U.S. citizen and just go where you basically want to go.
Yes.
And then now it's this question of, will they even let you in? And if they do, all of these procedures. So like, just don't let that slip, you know, pass you up anymore, because you're going to regret it. So I'm glad that we kind of talked about that too, because a lot of people, that's why I like to interview people, like everyday people who travel a lot into multiple places, mm-hmm, because I want them, mm-hmm, to see that, no, these are, we are not all just Instagram influencers who, you know.
Yeah, we have a real life. We work. We promise.
Right, right. We have lives. We have jobs that we do. We have responsibilities, and we still make it happen working 40 plus hours a week, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I like to talk to everyday people like you who are just making it happen and not, you know, and have not let, you know, just having to work stop you. Like, you still find the time, mm-hmm, and you still budget accordingly and find the resources to make sure that it is a high priority for you. And I think I get a lot of questions from listeners, and throughout the seasons I have gotten a lot of questions from listeners, and it usually, a lot of those questions always go back to a couple of things. One, either it's always like, I want to start, but should I, or what if, you know, this person is not supportive of me wanting to. It's always those kind of questions. And then there's always the question of money, like how do you make it work. So that's why I wanted to kind of dedicate a whole episode to it, because it's like, you can do it, you can make it work, mm-hmm, you just, mm-hmm, gotta be creative in anything that you do. If you want to do something and you are that determined to do it, you will
exactly
find a way. So I love hearing from everyday people who say like, no, you can do multiple trips a year, like you can do it. So overall, what would you say to encourage those listeners, to let them know that like, you don't have to be rich to see and travel the world?
I would say, you know, I know Nike came up with it first, and you know, you just said it, but just do it. Just do it. There is nothing holding you back but yourself and your excuses. Right now is a great time to buy airfare, and it's a great time to travel, you know, a little bit. Not, you know, don't go crazy right now, but right now with the way that the world is and what happened, is you absolutely have no idea what tomorrow brings. Mm-hmm. So if you're scared of something, or just do it. And if you have any questions, definitely, you know, all of your listeners or followers are definitely more than welcome to reach out to me. But, you know, if there is something that you're unsure of or anything, just ask and just do it. Like, and I'm a big believer of traveling by yourself too.
Yes.
You know, like, nobody knows but you, you know. Just buy that ticket and go. And the moment you do, your life changes. The moment my husband and I got our first trip abroad, when we stepped foot in Germany, I was like, this is exactly what I'm going to live for.
Right. I love it. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have a few questions from our listeners. Perfect. Okay, so Savannah, we got two questions so far. And the first question is, my name is Brittany and I am a single woman, no kids, and want to start traveling more because if anything, Corona has taught me that you never waste that time. What could you say to me as I want to get out there and get started, but I feel I really don't have the time? I have holidays off and work Monday through Friday with 2 weeks of vacation a year.
Brittany, first of all, I think that 2 weeks of vacation a year is the perfect amount, you know, kind of like what Fatima and I just talked about. We have said, like, now that you can take those smaller weekend trips, you know, definitely I would say pinpoint a destination first, of where you want to go. And then start budgeting and start saving and getting into a travel agent. To see if there's any way. And I don't know about any other travel agents, but mine in particular, she doesn't cost to even quote you out. So a lot of times you can either, mm-hmm. you can either ask them for a quote or you, and then they can give it to you and you don't have to book with them. You know, that's what they do. Kind right. of like our job in sales, you know, we quote people all the time. You don't have to use them. So quote them out. And if, you know, they're any cheaper, just start working with them to see, start your destination. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do there? You know, start looking ideas, create a Pinterest board of everything you want to do and just start saving. But I definitely think 2 weeks of vacation a year is a lot. And like I said, sacrifice those holidays, you know, the Christmas Eve and the Black Friday and New Year's Eve and Good Friday, sacrifice those, go into work and then set a destination and then just go from there.
Right. I definitely would have to agree with you too, Savannah. And then piggyback, you have a Monday through Friday. There's so many different, we talked about, you know, using, taking off just a Friday and leaving a Thursday evening to somewhere close. And if you've never really traveled before anyway, maybe this is the perfect time as you kind of get your feet wet with that 2 weeks of vacation time a year with those Monday, do those closer trips throughout. You can do multiple of those closer places now.
Absolutely.
And then work your way up to your Bali's and your Australia. Exactly. You know, and hopefully you're in a place where you have more vacation time by then. But right now, having Monday exactly. through Friday off with 2 weeks a year, it's perfect because exactly. you definitely have the opportunity now to say, like, okay, I'm going to plan for, look at all, matter of fact, what I was saying for anybody too, and it's just kind of crossed my mind, is look at the calendar. If you're going to start next year, go ahead and look at the whole 2021 calendar mm-hmm. and look and see when does a certain holiday fall? And if you could go on a trip then, like, you could just take off 1 or 2 days and just start looking at your calendar now and kind of looking at those long weekends to use to finish your time, and then looking for those times that you can do like a week trip, and then you could do like 3 or 4 of those smaller trips with the rest of your vacation time. Hopefully you still have sick time too, so you don't have to worry about if you get sick having to use your vacation time.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
hopefully that is the case. But if not, like, no, for sure, by all means, like, look at your calendar now and kind of look at when things fall and when you could kind of playing around a long weekend and start just getting your feet wet before you go all the way to Australia and fly 20 hours. Like, maybe the first year that you start, just look at your calendar and see where can you go within that. We just came up with that numeral, Savannah, within that 8 hours.
Yes, I love it.
You know, within that time and finesse your time that way. So this is the perfect time to really plan that out, because you'll find that you actually really do have the time. I know you've said that you don't think that you have the time or you don't feel like you have the time, but you actually really have the time. You're a single woman with no kids. I mean,
You're right.
Not saying that, you know, you're not a busy woman, because I'm a busy woman. I have no kids and I'm super busy all the time, but I make time for what I want. And traveling is something that I make time for. So
exactly,
you probably have the time. You're just not realizing you have the time because it's not a priority to you yet. But once it becomes a priority and you get your first taste of that wanderlust, as I like to call it, you will find that, oh, you're going to make the time, especially single, no kids. I mean,
exactly. There's no excuse, Brittany. You got to do it.
Yes, got to do it. All right. We have another question from Jocelyn. And Jocelyn says, hi, pretty wanderer and guest. I can't help but see all of these people on IG traveling the world, and I can't help but want to do that too. I always wonder how they do it. Since listening to your show, I've been learning a lot. However, I would like to know, what's your tip for helping someone map out a real plan to do so next year when Corona is over?
Well, I think you answered it in Brittany's question. Right. Go ahead and look at your 2021 calendar and see, you know, where do the holidays, what days do the holidays fall on? What, you know, how many weeks of vacation do I get? And start planning it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I want to go in September of next year, so I've got over a year to plan. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And how much does it cost? And then just do it.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. We've kind of really touched on it the whole show with her question. But I think, like we just said, now is the time to plan. So it's a good thing that she's even asking about, you know, how should she plan for when Corona is over or for next year? And so this is the time to plan. And I think that this is the time to do your research, and you're already doing a good job by listening to podcasts like mine, and there are other podcasts out there. So you're curious. So you're already at that point where you're just ready to do it. You just don't know where to start. And so I think we both really touched on that. Like, now is the time. And if you have a job where you work a typical Monday through Friday, like Brittany, with, you know, X amount of time off a year, or even if you have an unpredictable schedule, you can still at least look at the calendar and say, well, where, maybe start here. Where do you actually want to go first? And how much time does it take to get to that place? Both ways.
I agree.
And then look at your calendar next year and say, this trip, you know, Puerto Rico is a great trip, you know, right there. That was like a 4 or 5 hour flying time to get there. And I did that like a Thursday through Sunday. So I want to go to Puerto Rico. It's 5 hours of flying time there and back. And I believe I can knock this out with the 3-day trip. So I'm going to make sure that on this month of next year, I want to go to Puerto Rico. That's when they say it's the best time to go. I'm going to go in May. And so when I get my schedule, I already know to tell my manager, if I'm not off, then I'm going to be off on this day in advance. Right.
Absolutely.
Typically, hopefully you work for a job where if you tell them in advance, I need these days off, it shouldn't be an issue. Now, if you don't work a job like that, that's a whole nother issue. But hopefully you work a job where, you know, you can tell them in advance that you're going to be out these days. So you can map it out even if you don't know your schedule next year, and just make sure that you tell your company, like, these days I'm going to be off. This is how I'm going to plan it, and I need to be off these days. So I say just do it that way as well. We've talked about many of different ways that you can kind of do that. Another thing I would say too, to Jocelyn, is when it comes to planning it out, I think once you have your bucket list and you know where you want to try and where you want to attempt to go, and you map it out and you have it planned, like Savannah said, start working towards the financial part of it. Because you mentioned that you see people on IG traveling the world all the time and wonder how they do it. It's your everyday people like myself and Savannah who are doing it. And so I think that if you keep that in the forefront of your mind, is that you don't have to be an IG influencer. Like, these, most of the people on IG that are traveling like that are your everyday people that's just making it work. So follow different pages that will keep you inspired. And that's to both Brittany and Jocelyn. Like, stay inspired, because if you stay inspired, it's going to make you want to make it a priority and put some action behind it. Right? Like, put some action behind your desire to want to travel and just say, okay, I'm going to do it.
Yes. I 100% agree.
Just book that flight, girl. Book that flight.
Book it.
This is the time. Well, Savannah, thank you so much for being on the show today. It has been a pleasure talking to you about your travel adventures. How can my listeners support you if they want to connect with you, ask you a question, check out your travel adventures? What are some ways, obviously your social media, but what are some ways that people can support you?
Definitely reach out. I mean, I'm definitely more active on Instagram than Facebook or Twitter or TikTok. Just reach out on Instagram if y'all want to follow me. Definitely, like I said before, shoot me a DM. I don't mind answering any questions. So just let me know and then we'll go from there.
Okay, then. Well, thank you for coming again. And thank you. You're welcome. We came up with a whole new plan that I'm going to talk about that we're going to talk about. It's going to be our staple that we made up. So
I love it.
So thank you again. And it was a pleasure. You have a good one.
Bye, Fatima.
Bye. Oh my God, wasn't she fun? Oh my God, I love her. But I will say I haven't been feeling the best today. I don't know if you could hear it through my voice in the recording, but I kind of pushed through because I love y'all just that much. And next week is the season finale. So don't forget to tune in because it's going to be about the ultimate bucket list.